Blog Talk Radio.
And coming off that lead guitar run from Pete Fry, who did our new intro for 2019, this is Stephen Zimmer coming at you with the 154th episode of the Star Chamber Show, and broadcasting live out of Lexington, Kentucky, with co-hosts Daniel Dark and Holly Phillippe tonight.
Hello, hello.
Good evening.
Well, Stephen, you understand the show is almost as old as I am now.
Almost.
It's creeping up.
Broadcasting almost 200 years.
Yo, it's 155, or yo, it's 154. I'm 155. Yo.
Almost.
we're
making strides. Yeah. Next week we have our first official sponsors, which is gonna be kind of fun. We got two slots for those available every week, and we had some good response to that. Of course, you know, also, yeah, please, listeners, if you do like the show, you can support us, and it goes a long way by supporting our Patreon page, and that's become a patron of the Star Chamber Show through patreon.com/7thStar Press, spelled out, patreon.com/7thStar Press, and like Holly says, yeah, $2 sponsorship a month goes a long way.
Goes a long way.
A show like ours, yeah,
it
yeah.
does.
We get,
it
yeah,
does, and it helps our other
nice
mission.
Group of listeners. We're, you know, come in at like just $2 a month each. I mean, it really will helps on the show and and all of the stuff that we do. And it's definitely appreciated, and it does make a difference. So I will get that out there at the outset here. And it's been a great week. Where do we start? Well, okay, we'll start with one cool thing. You may have noticed this week with Imaginarium, we announced a great Rob Hoff a couple days ago, who's been on the show before, the man
Woo!
Behind Cosmic Egg Rapture and Contract with the Lycanthrope, which is just great guy, and author for Hydra Publications, our friends, you know, with Tony Acree. And also that day we announced Matthew Longville, and you may have noticed, you know, that we put up his graphic, business consultant, and that's one of the things I do want to point out, that does give Imaginarium a unique aspect, because of course creatives all are, you know, small businesses, and so one of the things, you know, Imaginarium, though, we want to bring in business professionals to bring their expertise and insight into our panels and programming, so that our attendees can benefit from that kind of expertise, just basic, good, solid business fundamentals. And Matthew is with Longville Consulting, and we are very excited to have him, and he definitely represents, you know, another group of guests that you will see at Imaginarium, which, by the way, I don't think I have a drum roll audio sound clip, unfortunately, but we got named the second best writing conference in the entire Southeast USA and the best writing conference in the state of Kentucky by The Writer Magazine. And that just came to our attention 2 days ago. So we're stoked about that.
Very
and
proud.
It's been worked hard to build a convention that has content, that has substance, that delivers far more to the attendee than what they spend on it, and I think finally it's getting a nice thing to see, you know, and so that we were real excited to learn that, and then last but not least, I'll go ahead and break some news here, Holly, but for 7thStar Press we got two new members of the family, two new author members of the family, and that would be Rose Marie Machario. And wait for it, Tommy B. Smith, regular listener to the
Woo!
Show, and just a phenomenal guy, and And, yeah, this is going to be – the book that's coming out by him is going to be a real curveball, I think, to people because it's not something he's typically had out there yet, and it's probably going to come under one of our imprint labels. So I won't talk much about that just yet, but just give you a little teaser on that. And Rose has a great fantasy series that's going to be 6 books in length. And so, yeah, we're looking forward to having her with us. Two just absolutely wonderful people dedicated to the quality of their craft and just real go-getters, really approachable. I mean, just winners in every way. And that's going to be great. And, yeah, well, of course, we'll have them on the show to talk to you all and meet everybody, and they're just awesome folks. So yeah, Holly, yeah, I know you're stoked about that.
I am very stoked about that. It's been a long time in the making, and I'm so happy we can actually share it with the public now. Rose couldn't contain herself earlier. She actually had to do a live. I said, "Go for it!" So yeah, she did a live and told everybody. We will come out with a formal announcement here soon.
Mm-hmm.
For both of them, but yeah, it's fantastic. They're both great people and very talented creatives, renaissance people in their own right. They do a little bit of everything, and just very, very talented individuals, and we're so glad to have them as part of the family. And I know you guys out there listening will immensely enjoy them and be happy and want to check their stuff out, most certainly. And Daniel knows them too.
Yep. Yes, I do.
But Daniel's got you've got a thing coming up, or you did a thing over the weekend, the MAC. Would you tell everybody a little
MAC
bit?
I did the MAC over the weekend, yes.
We
did that in Murfreesboro this last weekend, with the great, John Pica, better known as,
yay, John,
as Big Daddy Cool to a lot of people.
Big
you
Daddy.
Know.
Johnny De La Rocca.
Johnny De La Rocca, yes.
Big Daddy Cool.
But, that was a great event that, it's a small event, small Comic-Con. But we started some panels in it this year that, hadn't had, before. I did a writer's panel in there with another author and did a few things like that. Put out a new award that I received in the mail Saturday. Displayed that out Sunday. And
yeah, and that looked nice. Nice. Yeah, I saw all those pictures.
Beautiful.
It's one of those awards that I did not know that I was getting. So those are the ones that if you don't even know that you're nominated for them and you get an award, they're really nice a lot of times. So,
nice surprise.
Nice surprise. It's a Poison Cup Award from the Crime Masters of America group. So. That was,
And I think that's awesome because, like, we're talking about you and Nathan Day. Both of you, are award-winning authors with your debut novels. So, I mean, that's
yes.
Definitely an extra feather to put in your cap.
Well done.
Fantastic.
Well done.
It's also an extra feather for 7-Star Press to put in their cap because of the fact that
– not shabby, of course not.
they're looking at people that, may have potential. Maybe they see things that other people don't see, because I know Nathan and myself both put our books out to other people and they're like, no, that's, we're good. Don't need that. And both those books, won awards this year.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's right.
Well,
we know a little bit about what we're doing.
I like to think we have an eye for good stuff. I mean, I really, really do.
I'm going to tell you, it has a lot to do with the author themselves. I mean,
Yes,
you can write a great book, but if you are a bitter person to be around and negative, well, no, that book's not going to sell. That book's not going to win awards. You know, it has a lot to do with the person behind the pen too. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And as far as sales,
well,
and awards,
I think
and
so.
All
I mean,
that,
you can get lucky, and you could have. You know, there are some writers that are real jerks to meet in person, and
yeah.
You know, and lightning strikes, and or they get a movie deal, or something happens,
they
and, you know, and that can, you know, that. But in general,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. You're absolutely right, Holly. I mean, you know, I mean, there's a lot more to it, and frankly,
well, they're
I
just
mean,
not
going to
go far,
I mean,
you know.
I don't care how many copies a jerk might be able to sell. I wouldn't want to work with them. Period. So it's not even an
right.
issue with me on that, but. You know, that's
right.
that's,
well,
is one
that's
thing I'm
the thing
proud
about
of.
It. You know, it is, you know, is the person normally worth working with, no matter how good of an author they are? You know,
right.
If it's problems all the time with them,
drama. Mm-hmm.
Y'all dealt with that before.
Uh-huh.
I'll just throw that out there. You know, that, and you've dealt, you know. Dealt with authors that want it to be, you know, really upstanding and all that stuff, and you've dealt with people that, you know, in different
oh, yes.
events and stuff that you had to relieve of duty, so to speak.
Right.
yeah, unfortunately it happens, but it's you know, it's just part of
that's
the
that's why we're,
you know,
we're particular
things.
Now, you know. The book's got to be outstanding, and so does the author. That's just how it is, you know, because I'm too broken down and to deal with drama.
Yeah, I think anybody that's been in the book business for a while knows exactly how Holly feels. Anyone that's dealt with the book world for a long period of time knows that feeling. I guarantee that. So.
We try to spread as much positivity as we can, and we try to help people.
Yeah.
You know. And help people network.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole thing with the podcast and with the Imaginarium
mm-hmm.
and
connect
and
dots,
on all that.
Network, learn, grow, you know, find the resource
we
or
want
the person
people
they need
to succeed.
Meet. Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. You know.
And that's how you succeed. You know, well,
mm-hmm.
me and Matthew Longville was talking about that the other day. You know, people mm-hmm. forget that. They want to look
mm-hmm.
out for number one only, and you're not going to make it real far. You're not. It takes a tribe, especially in today's indie world, any kind of creative. Doesn't matter if you're doing art or audiobooks or you're doing film or whatever you're doing, music. You have to be able to network. You have to work, you know, as a tribe, and you got to find that tribe and hold on to them. And help
yes.
each other.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's how you
that's
succeed.
The best environment.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
I think Holly says it very well there. But yes, Daniel,
well, one
getting
happy
back to
trumpet.
It, yeah, you, I am, yeah, I'm very stoked that, yeah, you've got that nice, pretty trophy to put on yourself. And,
very
yeah,
cool.
Came out of an event weekend. And so I guess, yeah, it's all across the board. We've had a very productive week. It's definitely not been uneventful. So that is good. That is good. And, yeah, it's I think that about covers it all as far as the updates and news. And we've got our guest actually has I think, just called in. So I think, Holly,
right.
I think I'm going to get ready to do some introductions here. And we're going to bring you tonight, I love this, the Audio Sorceress. And I will let Holly say a few comments, and then if I have to add anything, and then we'll bring her on.
Well, this little lady is a true Renaissance woman. Not only is she this huge creative, that is also she has done award-winning narration for New York Times and USA Today best-selling authors. She is a SAG-AFTRA voice actor of the stage and screen. She has performed all over the world, which we'll let her tell you about that. She's also claimed to be the accent guru, so she'll have to demonstrate some of those. I'm excited to hear this. And she is the mother of identical twins. So she is a busy, busy little lady. And she also raises chickens, and she loves to go fishing. So she's after my own heart there. And she loves NASCAR and volunteering. So let's bring her on and welcome Miss Marnie Young.
Oh, hi.
Welcome, Marnie.
Wow, that's a really amazing introduction.
We spare no expense on our introduction.
Seriously, I'm just like, wow, I think you covered everything. I have nothing left to say. That's it.
Oh, you have a lot to say. You are a busy, busy lady.
Oh, yes,
lady.
You do.
Oh, you're so funny. I thank you so much. You are so sweet to have me on your show. It's such an honor. You have to forgive the noise. I actually am in the city. I'm actually in Grand Central Station right now, so it's a bit noisy. Oh. So if you hear, like, periodically train announcements or whatever, I'm meeting a friend in the city. So anyway, I apologize in advance for that. But it's exciting, right? And I've got a play that I'm, a huge two novels that I'm cutting right now to adapt into a play that I got a director from New York who has agreed to work on it with me, and we're going to bring it to a couple of countries next year. So, but I gotta cut it first. It's like 600 pages, and I have to cut it to 2 hours.
Oh.
So a lot of work to do.
Wow.
Ooh,
that's a challenge.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, it's called The Heart of the Conqueror. It's by G. Lawrence, or Gemma Lawrence. And I actually did the audiobook for her two books that were like a 36-hour audio, you know, ended up being 36 hours. And I loved it so much. I said, hey, she's in Cornwall in the UK. And I said, hey, is there, you know, I would love to adapt this into a play. I've actually never done, mind you, I've never done anything like this before, but I just felt so strong about it, you know, just so passionate about it. I was like, this needs to be on stage, and I want to play her. I want to play Matilda. So that's what I'm working on right now. She agreed to be a consultant, and she's super excited. She wants to come to New York to see it. And like I said, of course, first I have to adapt it. I got to give her a script, you know.
But yes.
And it ends up that she's my 27th great grandmother. This woman, Matilda Flanders, she's a Duchess of Normandy. She was, you know, the wife of William the Conqueror. So everybody knows who William the Conqueror is, but who knows who, you know, mm-hmm. Matilda is? Well, Matilda was a freaking kick butt woman, and she was ruthless like William, and she knew how to get power. And she knew William was the ticket to her power, and it's exciting, and I think that there's a lot that's relevant to today. You know, where given women's position and sometimes how, you know, would they be as powerful as they are if it wasn't for the men that they were involved with? And it's really brilliant. So I'm looking forward to it.
Oh. Wow.
I'm working on while I'm sitting in Grand Central Station waiting to do the podcast and then get on the train to go back home to Easton. Anyway.
Amazing. I don't think we have had a podcast and had people call in that were at Central Park before New York City, but this is a first for Grand Central Station.
This is
funny. Yeah, definitely a first. Well, let me ask you this. How did you actually get to perform in other countries? Because performed in like Romania and Sweden.
Yes,
and...
I did. Yes, Romania, Sweden. Yeah, I did a play called Waxing West by Saviana Stanescu, who was just an amazing Romanian playwright. And a guy that I went to school with, who's a fantastic director, Benjamin Moss, cast me in this play. I got the lead in this play at La Mama, which is a huge, really well-known theater in New York. And we ended up traveling with the show. And the thing is, the show takes place in Bucharest, in Romania, during the fall of Ceausescu, as well as 9/11. So it goes, it's extremely powerful in that way. So to be able to do it in front of a New York audience and what that was, and then to go to Bucharest, these people lived what I was performing with these other incredible actors. It wasn't just me. There were amazing actors involved in that show. But yes, and it was really cool because I went to Bucharest and they actually thought I was Eastern European. they were like, wait a minute, wow. You're pretty young. They're like, that's not Eastern European. They're looking at me like, wait a minute, what? But it was a blast because you get there and you have like no time. You have whatever, a day that where they set up the stage, and then you have like a day to, you know, a few hours or whatever to run through the play and this whole other, after, you know, being on a plane for however long, and then you perform like that night. It's wild. It's like nothing I've ever experienced. And it was awesome. And then to go to Sweden too, where, you know, we just to be on, I remember being on this, the boat was so cold there. It was so cold.
I imagine.
But you break, you hear the ice breaking. The boat is breaking through the ice as you're, and so you go outside to feel that, like, you haven't felt cold. Like, I hadn't felt cold like that before. I mean, I live in New England. I thought I knew cold. I did not know cold until I went to Sweden, to Stockholm. It was amazing. So I've been extremely blessed with, you know, getting to go different places. And, you know, I did a show in Edinburgh called Mickey Mouse is Dead, which was a lot of fun, which was, it was about Walt Disney.
And I would like that.
It was very interesting, actually, because he was a very interesting gentleman, man. And I played like a sort of Grace Kelly figure, one of the animators. And it was wild. I've been lucky. I've gotten to play a lot of fun roles, and then to be able to, you know, sort of transition into audiobooks. And now I finished up a show in Ivoryton in Connecticut, and to sort of go back into that world was wild. after, you know, being away for like, gosh, it's been like 5 years now from the stage.
Oh, wow.
So, you know.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
Identical twins. They were, you know, developmentally delayed, and they had a lot of medications and all sorts of fun stuff to deal with. And I was like, no one's taking care of my babies but me. No one.
Right.
I gave up, you know, everything because I wanted to focus on them. And the audiobooks really didn't come into play until a friend of mine was just like, you know, you got a nice voice. He's like, you should try audiobooks. You could work from home, you know, build a studio in your house, work from home. You could be with your kids, and you can do something you love and make some money. So I was like, let me try that. And I just got so flipped. I swear to you, I got so lucky. It was like it was late 2016. I auditioned for this book. She's a USA Today bestselling author, M. Robinson, a really contemporary romance, really hot, sexy, but brilliant writing. Really, the characters psychologically are fascinating. And so anyway, I got it. Unbeknownst to me, I was auditioning for a producer, not the author. And so they were like, we want to see your resume. What else do you do? And I hooked up with them, and that was it. So the next thing you know, I'm getting best-selling authors. And then, you know, all of a sudden, I'm getting my own clients on my own. So I'm bringing them to the producer saying, look, I got this person, this person, this person, and I want to give you I want you to do the production side of it. I want you, you know, so I can focus on the narration side of it. And before you know it, we've got this wonderful relationship, and, you know, and then all of a sudden I have my own business. Like 7 months ago, I started my own business, and that's like, it's crazy. Like nonstop.
that's how it goes. That's what we say about networking, you know, and it does take a tribe. It truly does. And you surround yourself with the, you know, the right amount of people, and that's how these things happen.
And you just, and when you, it's amazing too, because people just like help you out of the kindness of their heart. It's like they don't want anything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they just help you. And for me, that really, like, all of a sudden I'm helping people left and right. You know what I mean? Like, I'm promoting people. I'm having a blast doing it. It is so fun to promote these really talented, whether they're authors or even, you know, cover artists or editors. I mean, you name it, whatever it is. It's fun. I enjoy it. It's tiring.
Yes.
I'm not gonna lie.
Yes.
I get like 4 hours of sleep a night, but it's so fulfilling. You know, it's selfish in that way, 'cause it's really fulfilling to do things like that, and to know that maybe you had a little bit of a part in that. If I'm able to get like somebody an interview on a radio show or something, I mean, they get it in their own right. But I'm like, hey, you know, you need to check out this person. It's exciting that I was a little part of that. You know,
right?
And it just
feels
good to give back in that way, because I've been given so much. So anyway, I'm just like talking up a storm, aren't I? I had coffee.
So. Well, that's why we want you.
We love it.
For
it.
You are the guest.
And I spend most of you think about this. I spend most of my time speaking to 4.5-year-olds or to myself in the dark for many hours at a time.
So you have four. They're 4.5. They're 4.5
no,
years
sorry.
Old.
Well, they're actually soon to be 5. I should say soon to be 5. Yeah.
Yeah,
so
I have a granddaughter that's that same age. Yeah, she'll be 5 in July. So yeah,
it's a fun age, right? I mean, they're so easily entertained, which is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that makes your life a little bit easier, and it's just they're so curious. They're so curious about everything, and it's kind of like you learn so much by watching them. It's awesome. It's great being a mom.
Yeah.
I love it, and I get to eat my cake and. No, what is it? Get my cake. What is it? Eat my cake and... No, what is it?
No,
have your cake and eat it, too.
Eat,
there
what
you
is
go.
It? What is it?
Have your cake and eat it, too.
That's it.
That's it.
No, I guess.
That's it.
Because I can be with my kids, and I can do something that I love and make money and have insurance for my family at the same time. So, it's
yeah,
nice
that's awesome. That is awesome.
Well, your
yeah.
timing was great because, I mean, the audiobook world is just... exploded the
yeah.
last couple of years, right? When you said about 2016,
oh
you're getting into it, and yeah, you just kind of slipped in at the right time too. Yeah, timing
mm-hmm.
is brilliant.
I really did. I'm always telling my clients, like, you would not believe we are exploding. I mean, it really leaps and bounds, and it's the way to go. I mean, it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. I love my print book. I love, love, love that smell when you turn the pages. Like, if you first get that book, maybe you don't do that, but I do. To smell the pages. Because
smell,
there's nothing
yes,
like
yes,
it. There's
I love
no
the
replacement
smell.
For that. But I also love my Kindle because when I'm reading, R.R. Martin, it's like 1,000 pages. I need
right.
my Kindle. I can't exactly be commuting, something like to the city with a 1,000-page book. But an audio, I can run, I can do dishes, I can all these things while listening to an audio book. And it's so great too because you're just reaching. This whole other group of people that otherwise would not be able to have access
mm-hmm.
to books in that way. And that's exciting to me. But it's the way to go. And I feel like, too, I tell my clients, too, that I think it increases your credibility as an author. People see you and they go, oh, look, they've got the print book, they've got the Kindle book, and they've got the audio book.
And they have got audio.
Serious,
mm-hmm.
serious author. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I know it's expensive, and I understand how there are plenty of authors, that are struggling and can't afford that. But I really think that, people look at that, other people look at that and go, wow, this is the person to pay attention to because look what they've got here.
Right.
But it leaps and bounds. It's unbelievable. And it's just exciting to be part of a growing industry too. When you see, sadly, you see these brick and mortar stores fail, you see other industries just having such a rough time, and audiobooks just keeps growing and growing and growing, and there's new platforms are popping up all the time. So ACX was like the end all be all. I don't know if you guys are ACX.
Yep.
Do you know? Yeah, of course you do. Okay. Well, it was the end all be all, right? It's all anybody knew. But now, I mean, there's so many Spoken Realms and Findaway and so many other of these sort of more independent publishers. It's exciting, and it's like there's room for that. There's
right.
space for these people, and that's awesome. Because in so many other places, it's overcrowded. There's you know what I'm saying? It's saturated. The market is saturated, and it's not
oh, yeah.
right now, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's where you want to be, you know.
Well, that's encouraging because
yeah.
I'm an author, and I have 15 books out in print as of the moment. So I've been,
oh, wow.
been getting some books out, certainly. But believe it or not, my very first audiobook has just recently been moving forward as far as auditions. And I tell you, it's been
yeah.
It's been so exciting to hear different approaches to hearing my own stuff and just hearing the different approaches from different narrators. And that's
uh-huh.
been like a major thrill just getting to hear that. And,
yeah.
and so I'm just getting into your world, but here just very, very cautiously, cause I want to do it right. But, But yeah, it is definitely an exciting kind of realm to be stepping into. And
it's great too for
And that brings me to this question. You do get a book, how do you decide on? Because I have heard so many just in the auditions. It's so neat to hear the different takes the same characters by different people. Can you talk a little bit about your process when you just get handed text and what goes into it? And do you collaborate with the author on that? And give us a picture of that phase.
Sure. Okay. So you're talking about for an audition. You're talking about when I get a book. Is that right?
What do you think, Holly? When she gets a book, let's move it forward a little bit.
Well, I think you're talking about like when they first hand you the text for like an audition. Where do you go?
Okay, we'll start there.
If for an audition, I never reach out to the author. I don't, because I just I don't know. I found when I leave little notes for an author, while other people have great success with that, I don't. For whatever reason, I don't know if it turns the authors off or whatever, but for me, it doesn't seem to go well. So I just trust my instincts and go with that. I mean, I read, sometimes authors will give a really great breakdown of very specific, exactly what they're looking for. And obviously I try to emulate that, or I try to get as close to that as possible. But, but if there's, in the end, you just have to trust your instincts. You read it. You take notes. You read it out loud. Of course, you silently and read it out loud. And that's too, when you catch things, you're like, that guy, no, his voice should be pitched lower. There's a gravity about this guy that, where I have him right now and my voice, it doesn't sound right. So I need to move that to another place. Or this girl's a little flighty sounding. The way that this text is written, she sounds kind of flighty to me. And I need to adjust that because it's too... Right now she sounds really insistent or something like that. So those things kind of pop up the more you read it out loud. But I don't reach out to the author. No. Have you had that experience? Are narrators reaching out to you for takes on what you're looking for or whatever? I haven't tried that.
We've had both, where some have just given us straight out narration, and some have, looked for a few notes, and it didn't bother me either way, but it's been kind of mixed on that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Well, ACX ask you for notes. They'll ask you when you turn in a book and go to publish it on there and everything. They actually ask you author notes. Any kind of, we'll say anything that you would like the narrator to know, or the accent. You can pick what accent you want, and like different regions of the U.S. and all that. So yeah, you have your input on that, and then people can roll with it.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and I mean, I do. I obviously look at the book. Maybe if I'm lucky, and depending on how much time I have. Honestly, I can read even the first couple of pages, because sometimes, you get those sneak peeks on Amazon or whatever, where they let you just to sort of get a feel. Other than just the audition, you might even get to be able to get more of a feel of what the book is, maybe even the rhythm of it or whatever that maybe you can't get from just the sides alone or the audition alone. But it's a wonderful not outlet, but it's great for actors. It's almost like a natural transition for us, I think, because we have the training. We're taught to embody all these different characters, and the beauty of it is you don't have to look good. That's like my favorite part, is that I can just sit in a chair. I don't have to look pretty. My hair doesn't have to look, I can be in my jammies and my, tiger slippers and do my thing, and it doesn't matter. Because all that matters is that I tell the story, the way that the author, as much as possible, the way the author has envisioned it. And that's nice. I love that. That's my favorite part.
That's fun.
Because I get
you don't
old.
Have
you
to drop that
when you have
commute.
To go to these auditions, going back and forth to all these auditions, and when I met women in the city, and it's raining, and dag nabbit, I just curled my hair, and now I look like a wet dog, and I, and my makeup is weird, and it's a disaster. So this is great. And for auditions, I just sit in a chair, do my thing, maybe drink coffee, and It's good.
Well, that's it. You can have a glass of wine. You can have anything because you're at home.
Oh, there you,
you
go,
know?
Right? Yeah. Well, for me, I don't drink, but I would have my coffee, well, and I would be set. Yes, absolutely. Just as good.
Yep, yep. That's right. You don't have to worry about the commute.
No, exactly.
Yes.
I don't have to worry about the commute and schlepping everywhere. Yeah, no schlepping.
Well, once you do get underway and you do have a project underway with an author,
yeah.
At that point, do you have a lot of interaction with them, or is it pretty much straightforward left to you at that point when you
it
do have a
project? It actually varies. Right. So if I'm doing a production, like if it's not through my company, if it's through like, you know, Tantor, I do a lot of books for them. I do about like 2 a month now. They just give you a synopsis, and they don't want you interacting, understandably so, because it's their client. They don't want you interacting with the author. You can ask them questions,
mm-hmm.
and they'll then ask the author and get back to you, which I have done, you know, not usually for voices, mostly for pronunciations of names. You know, if there's a lot of stuff that I'm like, yeah, this is Greek, this is, what is this? I'm not sure. But when it comes to myself, yeah, I'll say, hey, you know, please, if you have character specifics that you have in mind, whether it's, you know, voices, dialects, anything, even character descriptions that maybe they have
mm-hmm.
in their mind, like, oh yeah, she's a feisty redhead, you know, which maybe I, for whatever reason, I didn't get that from the book or something. They lay that out for me, and sometimes they'll even give me a real actor, like this is a Tom Cruise type or whatever. I mean, obviously I can't do Tom Cruise, but at least I'm like, okay, you get a picture of that. And when you can picture that
mm-hmm.
character, that helps tremendously. I know that I do a much, much better job if I have a visual image of what that character looks like. But yes, yeah, so I will interact with them and with my process too. You know, you get in the same way with ACX, you get that first 15 minutes, right? I do the same thing. You do the first 15 minutes and then, you know, they give you feedback, and I've gotten plenty of feedback. You know, one woman had said, she sounds like a 60-year-old smoker. No, this is, she's too, I wanted her different, but now she's like too different, and this is not, I don't want this. And so I was like, okay, well, let me dial that back a bit, and then here's this, you know, and then
mm-hmm.
she's happy with that. But yeah, I mean, when I get that script and I pour over it, I'm taking notes. I'm taking notes. Maybe if there's, well, first of all, I mean, when I do fantasy books where there's like 60 some characters, you better believe I'm taking notes, because there's so much to remember. And I take vocal files, so I record those voices so that I can tap right back into them, especially when you're doing trilogies. Like I did a huge trilogy that had, yeah, like 60 characters in each book by J.J. Anders. And it's actually, you'd laugh at this, J.J. Anders is, they're identical twin sisters. And one is an author, and she's a famous New York Times and USA Today best-selling author, Jill Sanders. She does a lot of romance. But she got with her sister, who's a teacher and also wonderfully creative. They spent years working on this trilogy, a fantasy series, and it's brilliant. But, I mean, oh, my gosh, I think every single character was British except for one, and that was the main character. So to come up with 60 different voices, you know, all in the same, like, style, it was pretty wild. But, yeah, you have to take notes. You have to take vocal files. Because how the heck can you remember... Oh, I can't. Maybe there are probably some people that can, but I can't. I have to have the vocal files to refer to.
Nice. Yeah, because I was thinking of that, because I write fantasy, and I was thinking, how do you get, you know, one of those large cast type of projects and then break mm-hmm. it down, you know, as one person, you know, yourself.
Yeah.
And that's a heck of a lot to take on. And I was wondering, too, do you, after the project is done,
mm-hmm.
do you hear back from some of these authors once they hear your final version, even if you haven't interacted with them during the production of it?
Yes. Yeah, actually, you know, I get notes or whatever. So once they've approved it, you mean, do they, or you mean that they've heard the final and then they have more feedback?
Yeah, like
that's
it's done
too.
And you know, you didn't necessarily work with them direct during the project. Like you said, you know, you're working with, you know, the company. Do you actually get the authors reaching out afterward?
I have. I'm not going to get anybody in trouble, but yes, authors have reached out to me to thank me for my good work. Yes. Which is nice.
Yeah, because
I know
I would if somebody did justice to what I did.
Yeah,
I know that.
Yeah, no, I've gotten some nice note, you know, and things that, like, you know, if I'm having a bad day or whatever, I go and look at that and I'm like, yeah, okay, this is nice. I can do this. This is, you know, there are people that believe in me. Because sometimes, you know, we all have those bad days and we all have those days where we're like,
sure.
Crap. Like, I'm not good at this. Am I? You know, like, whatever, for whatever reason, you can't get that voice right, or you can't get that. It's just not. It's not meshing the way it should. You know, because some characters fit you like a glove, and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be frustrating, like extremely frustrating. And so when you get it, and yeah, and you get that nice positive feedback, it feels really good. So, yeah, I'm all for it. Yeah, if you want to tell your narrator, great, go for it. Because I can tell you, they, you know, we get plenty of rejections, so it's always nice to have positive feedback.
Right. Well, I'm a filmmaker, so I appreciate that side of things. And so I'm looking at, you know, everything you do and looking at it, you know, from some different angles. And like when you do as a narrator on, like, say, that fantasy trilogy where, you know, you are tackling, you know, 50 characters, 60 characters. I mean, you are, as in terms of honing your craft, I mean, you are getting a lot of work in honing your craft for voiceover type work for animation, animated film or other things, you know, like that. I imagine that has got to help a lot for enhancing that part of your portfolio as an actor.
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's no question. I would love, actually, to break into animation. I haven't broken into it yet. I finally broke into voice acting, though. I did. I've done a little bit of that, but it's mostly, like, corporate stuff. But, you know, I mean, it takes time, right? You can't just roam with it in the day. So, but that's definitely a direction I would love to go in. And it's amazing to me too, like, having done all this audiobook work, to be back up on stage. First of all, you can't talk the way you normally would because you're on stage and you got 300 people of an audience. You know, it's not the audience isn't inside your ear. You know, when you're recording, the audience is like inside your ear. That person is like right. And, you know, when I record, I record for one person, as if I'm speaking to one person. But when you're on stage, you've got 300 people that need to hear you, maybe more, and you've got, you know, 80-year-olds who maybe have hearing devices or whatever else, or, you know, just people maybe who are hearing impaired or whatever, and they've got to hear you too. So that's definitely an adjustment. But what I did find was my vocal range was kind of surprising me. It was kind of like all over the place in an exciting way. I was kind of like, where'd that sound come from? And wait, where'd that sound come from? But I realized that it's from doing all that work. You're tapping into all this stuff that you don't tap it. First of all, you don't tap into on a daily basis. But second of all, a lot of times you don't get to tap into in the roles that I have played, you know? And it's just wild to be able to do that. And how much that, I think, that influenced just even the performance that I did on Friday. It was a one night. It was a one night thing. We just rehearsed all week. It was crazy. The fabulous, amazing playwright Tori Keenan-Zell, she's Emmy nominated, and just an awesome, humble powerhouse. Rewrote like half the script during the process. And the good news was, I mean, we got to have our scripts in our hands. So, but we had props, and I got to break a pineapple open. On stage, I got to paint somebody's face, but I had paint, I had paintbrushes,
nice.
I had sketch pads, I had an easel, all that, with a script in my hand at the same time. But anyway, it was just crazy how stuff would just come to me. And I bet you that it isn't just like actor instincts. I think that all this vocal stuff that I've been doing and all these characters that I've had to create almost on the fly, you know, because my deadlines are literally on top of each other, that informed what I did on stage. And, of course, everything that everybody else brings into the room. Of course, that informs what you do because everybody's giving so much and doing such an amazing job that, you know, you have to rise to the occasion. It's like, oh, the bar's set really high. Let's get up there.
Oh, yes, and the other aspect about stage, you only get one chance to do it. Yeah, you can't,
yes,
you can't do a second take.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And I love that. Stage is my favorite. I mean, between you and me and whoever else is listening, for that very reason, it's ephemeral and it is immediate, and it's one chance. There's no retakes, and it's unpredictable because you never know what's going to happen. And when something happens, and something doesn't go right, like oh, I don't know, when I was in Bucharest, I fell off the stage. Yeah, I did. Fell off the stage. Yep.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it was pretty wild. I keep using that word wild. I guess I'm stuck on wild tonight. But, you know, what do? You get back on stage, and you keep going. And that's it.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I did a show called Carrie. Well, you know the movie Carrie. There was a wonderful show with Sherry Vine, and they actually got rights to do the Stephen King Carrie, but it was hilarious. It was a parody on Carrie. It was so good. Oh gosh, who is it? Eric Jackson. Oh gosh, I hope that's right. Oh gosh, it's been so long. Anyway, he wrote this amazing play, and I remember the lights went from dark to bright, and my eyes didn't adjust, and I ran smack into the wall. They had to stop.
Oh.
They had to stop the whole play because I was almost knocked unconscious because my eyes didn't adjust to the light, and I hit the wall really hard. I mean, my knee was swollen to the size of a grapefruit, and but I got back in my heels and I went back on stage, you know, I don't know, 5 minutes later. Okay. I was an
the
narrator.
The show must go on.
Show must go on. Oh my gosh, I have so many of those. The show must go on. Oh geez. So many crazy. But that's the beauty, and I would never change that. And there's no replacement for that feel of a book in your hand, to be able to, that sound of turning the physical pages and that action, what that does to your body when you're turning these pages. It's the same. There's no replacement for being on a stage. And it's the interaction that you don't have. It's between the audience, that exchange of energy that happens. And
energy,
there's no replacement for that, right? I mean, there just isn't.
I think that's why you see a lot of Hollywood actors that are always going after, you know, doing something on Broadway. I think exactly because of what you're talking about, because there is no experience like it, and it's totally different.
And a bunch of them started out on, which I had, I didn't know Julia Roberts. I had no idea she started out on stage, and you know, I know that she did 3 Days of Rain on Broadway. I didn't see it. I know she did I think it was 3 Days of Rain on Broadway, but. People crave going back to the stage because of that very thing, you know, and you don't, and I've done film and film is amazing. Don't get me wrong. But there isn't anything like being on a stage and that feeling of the audience being with you too. And especially when it comes to comedy and you get that laughter, you hear them laugh. And you know that's something that I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I'm shameless when I go. I love that. If I can't laugh, I love it. I am not. I think most actors, whether they say it or not, they do. They love it.
Oh yeah.
I mean, how could you not? Yeah. Come on.
Or they wouldn't do it. It's
right.
Work. It's hard work.
Exactly.
And
we all,
you know, you wouldn't do it if you didn't love it.
Exactly. Yeah, we all have to be a little neurotic and a little arrogant to do what we do.
I mean,
let's be honest. You have to believe somebody wants to hear you, whether it's audiobooks. You have to believe that you have a good enough voice that people want to hear it. And in, you know, acting, you got to believe that you've got something that people want to see and listen to, you know. So. Yeah.
That's true. And just like anything else, you are your brand, you know. And
yes,
every experience
exactly.
you have, and you know, all your background, it's prepared you for what you do now. I mean, you know, every little
chicken.
Circumstance.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, raise chickens.
Sure.
I love that. I want chickens.
We have 16.
I love it.
You can have some. We got fresh eggs. I'll send you some eggs. We have so
many.
Fantastic.
We give them to the bus driver.
Love
the bus monitor. We give them to everyone. Because we have so many.
Yeah, Well, I raised my kids in an Amish community in Indiana.
Oh, wow.
I lived there for 21 years. So,
oh, my gosh.
I live in Lexington now, which is a big change. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, I was used to all that, you know, the farm fresh eggs and, you know, the meat and everything. I mean, it was all right there. So, yeah, when I moved here, it's like, yeah, it's a little different. But I'm waiting for the farmers markets and stuff to open back up.
Oh.
And I always like to go get the veggies.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Yeah, it's exciting.
Speaking of eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got a perfect segue. Rob Hoff is listening to the show right now.
Yes. Oh,
I love
him.
The author of the Cosmic Egg
Rapture
has tuned into the show.
Hi, Rob. Hi. He's so great.
Yeah.
He's the one I think who introduced me to you. He did.
Yes, I think so. I think so, because we were on LinkedIn.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
I've met a lot of people on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great networking thing, isn't it?
It's
amazing.
Mm-hmm. It's phenomenal.
Rob,
without a lot of the negativity you see on other social media platforms, that's great.
Exactly.
Yeah, you avoid it there.
Lady Gaga said,
not,
it was the toilet.
Not crazy.
The toilet of society or something, which I totally ascribe to because I'm on it all the time. So I get participating in the toiletry along with my children and my Rob, just to speak a bit about him, I mean, I had the fortune of reading some of his work, and holy wow. I was telling him, I was like, you are carving your own lane. I mean, he's like a little bit meta, a little bit like mythical, a little bit biblical. I mean, he's got his own thing, his own genre almost, to me anyway. And it's kind of like nothing I've ever read, which is awesome.
Yes.
That's
and
awesome.
New one,
you
know?
Yeah,
he is a
character
really
in himself.
Yeah,
he himself is the character. I mean, he is a legend around here. I mean, we love him.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the thing about him is he's
awesome.
One of those that supports other. I mean, he always is out there supporting other creatives. It's not just all.
Yeah.
You know, he's not just always like talking about his stuff. I mean, he's always out there, you know, building up everybody else. And that he's one. Yeah, he's a true gem. So,
well, and we linked it. We actually linked in. No, we linked up because he found out that I was doing Jennifer Irwin, who is just a killer author, who wrote Address the Color of the Sky. Sorry, it took me a second. Address the Color of the Sky, that's won like a billion awards, and he loved her work, and he found out that I was doing her audiobook, and so that's how we linked up. And then the next thing you know, I actually asked him to be my follower spotlight. I do this thing where I do a follower spotlight every month. So I focus on someone. It doesn't matter whether you're an author, whether you're whatever you do. And I just have a series of questions that I ask, and people can post videos of themselves. They can
do
whatever they want. So I did put your
very cool
your this podcast that Rob did with you guys. I don't know how many you've done, but I put whatever the most recent one was on my website, and so it's there for the whole month.
Awesome.
And I constantly, you know, like once a week or whatever, say, hey guys, you need to check out my follower spotlight. This is Rob Hoff. He's really awesome. And basically, you know, the questions are like, tell us about yourself and what's your interest in audiobooks? Why are you following me? You know, and also who's your favorite, I think, a literary character, and a couple like just little basic questions. But I encourage people to,
very cool,
you know, this is showcasing you. So say like whatever you want. You want your bio to be five paragraphs? Go for it. This is to showcase you. And I love doing that. And yeah, Rob is exactly that kind of person that he does. He supports and promotes other people just because he's like that, because he's Rob.
Right, that's it.
Yeah.
That's exactly.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't not smile when I see him. I mean, he's like
aww,
instant smile generator.
Well, I've never had the fortune of meeting him in person, but because all my relationships.
Oh, it's a whole other realm.
It's an experience.
I don't doubt
he is awesome.
The
in person. He's everything you can imagine in person if you've read his work. I mean, he's great.
That's awesome.
We got a question from the chat room from another great author who's also supportive of the author community, Kenzie Michaels. She's in the chat room right now, and she wanted to know. And you mentioned one when you're talking about Rob, but can you tell us about some of the authors and genres that you've narrated for? Or, you know, I know you've done a lot of stuff, so if you want to just pick out a few of your favorites and maybe favorite genres, even and talk about that.
Oh,
right.
Sure. Well, can I actually talk about something that I have? I'll pick a couple. One I want to talk about only because it's exciting. I've never done anything like it. It's the author refers to it as a geeky murder mystery. So it's she says it's for, you know, Whovians, gamers, and muggles. So sort of the gaming aspect is new to me. I mean, I know of it because my husband plays Final Fantasy, does the RPG, like Final Fantasy and Xenoblade. And I watch that and my brain kind of explodes because I don't understand how he's able to do what he does. But anyway, I'm in the process of narrating this book by Kristen McFarland called No Saving Throw, right? It's awesome. Like, I didn't know about LARPing. I didn't know this stuff, like live-action role-play. I know. And so the whole thing takes place in this mall, and she's got this tabletop gaming store. And then a murder happens because it's a geeky murder mystery, right? And so, yes. And so then it's sort of she has to become the sleuth and find out because she's in danger of losing her shop because they're like, this happened because you've got LARPing happening in the mall here, and it's probably one of your LARPers who did this, and now, you know, you're going to lose your store, essentially. And so she's got to become the sleuth and find out who really murdered this kid. But so it's so fun for me because I've not done anything like this. I've done murder mysteries, but not what she calls a geeky murder mystery. So I sort of put on my RPG hat and, like, try and get into this world that I don't know that. You know, my experience is Zelda from, like, you know, Super Mario.
We're like, big retro gamers. We love it.
Oh, you know about this? Okay, good. Because I got hives once from playing Super Mario Brothers, desperately trying to get the princess.
Yes.
I literally broke
yes.
out in hives because I played for so many hours, and they took me to the doctor, and he was like, she's not allergic to anything. Da-da-da. And finally he goes, does she like video games? This is like when I was 10. Does she like video games? My mom is like, I can't get her off Nintendo. I cannot get her to stop playing. He's like, this is what is causing her hives. She's so anxious. So I've been banned, essentially, from video games. I'm not allowed to play. I can watch. Which I do. My husband is amazing at this stuff. He's a Mensa guy. He's brilliant. He's a design architect, and he has his own firm called BH Architecture and Design.
Nice.
But he is an amazing gamer. He's so good. And I'm like, dude, I do not understand what you're doing, but it's cool. It's cool to watch.
Well, that's why you take a bunch of Benadryl, and then you sit down with Mario. There you go.
There you go. I think that's the answer. I'm not allowed to have any coffee, no caffeine, and just Benadryl. And then maybe I won't get break out.
The chamomile tea. Chamomile tea. Some Benadryl.
Jasmine green.
There you go. Such deep.
Richie, jasmine green. And mm-hmm. But I would say, so that's been a delight. I mean, I know technically that's not out, but I am in the process of recording that, and that's a lot of fun.
Neat.
Also, something else. I did I'm doing this series that I've done a couple books for now. It's called the Doyle and Acton Scotland Yard series. And the main narrator, she is from Dublin. And so she's got an accent, she's got a dialect. And so the whole book is done that way.
Oh, wow.
And
oh,
it's so fun. I tell you, it's really fun. And then you get Indian accents and you got a London accent, and you get a load of characters that you've got to do dialects for, and it's a blast. And so she keeps hiring
Fantastic.
Me, which so I must be doing something right. She must be selling them, I don't think she'd hire me. Anne Cleland, her name is Anne Cleland, and she is hysterical. And this character is Doyle. It's very quirky, which is, you know, can you imagine me doing quirky, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm like the opinion. I'm like, if you look quirky, there's a picture of me, like, with underwear on my head or something. I don't know. Exactly. Yeah, there is. And actually,
I'm
going to see it. I'm sure. You should look on social media for underwear on your head day, and I know there's a picture of me with underwear on my head. But anyway, I love doing that. That's a delight for me. And she's, like, influenced by Agatha Christie and Jane Austen. In fact, I know I just posted something for her. I know that's a really long answer to that person's question. I'm sorry. Was that too long?
No.
I really enjoy the mystery and the murder mystery and stuff.
Love it.
Like I did Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
I did his very like when you're first introduced to Watson and Holmes. That's sort of I call it my baby.
because it's sort of like my pride and joy. I did the very first story called A Study in Scarlet, and I'm like one of a handful of female narrators that has done an all-female narration of it, and it's doing really well. Like, I have, oh, I think it's almost an average of 5 stars or whatever, but I got 5 stars from Reader's Favorite, and the reviews are really, really positive. And that was, I mean, he's been my hero since I was little, Sherlock Holmes. I mean, that I just was in awe, you know, reading those books and seeing him on television. And then to be able to narrate, it was like, I was thinking, like, dreams do come true. This is unbelievable for me. But that's, and, you know, I do a lot of romance. I do a lot of, like, contemporary romance, a lot of, like, snarky. A lot of, they want to cast me as snarky and, how should we say this, biatchy. Snarky and biatchy and, you know, not hopefully not what I present to the rest of the world. But I do a lot of that. And it is fun. I mean, you're playing, you know, you're playing dragons and you're playing, gosh, I don't know, owls and ravens and you name it. I've probably played it. And you're like, what does a dragon sound like? You know, and these are men, too. So you're like, okay, what does a male dragon sound like? What does a wolf sound? I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd say, for me, hopefully I don't lose clients over this, the most exciting for me is these murder mystery thriller stuff. Just for that reason, because it's just, they're thrillers. They're sort of keep you on the edge of your seat. I got to do a book by Eric Gates, who's actually in the UK. He's one of my, I say, global clients, but he actually lives in Spain, but he is from the UK. And he wrote this wonderful series called the Cull series, and I did one of his audiobooks called Bloodline. It was his first book, and oh my gosh, it's so cinematic, the writing, and it just keeps that string of tension taut, that dramatic tension taut the entire book. And I mean, I'm pulling out accents and dialects from all over the place, and it's fun. It's just fun.
You love what you do.
I do. I really do. I love what I do. I love being able to perform, whether it's, you know, in front of a microphone or on stage. It's uh-huh. such a gift. And
have you ever done like a group where you do like a almost like a radio show? I mean, have you done like a book where with other narrators?
I know what you're talking about. I've never, or like a radio play type thing.
Yeah.
Or you mean
yeah,
that,
ensemble kind of
I wish.
Yeah.
An ensemble.
Wish. There's actually, there is someone I'm in contact with right now. I don't want to say because I think it's like a pet project of his, what his name is. But mm-hmm. I know that he's thinking of doing like a radio play series. And I know that he's looking at
That'd
me
be awesome.
To be involved. Yeah. And I'm like keeping my fingers crossed. If you're listening, you know who you are.
Yeah.
Remember, Audio Sorceress, just remember me when you start thinking about that radio play again. And he's just, I call him the genius because he really is. I mean, this guy, I just don't know if it's okay if I mention his name. So watch, it probably is. He's like, why didn't you mention my name? You should have. but he really is. I can't even begin to go into it. It's just like the way he thinks. And how he thinks on like several different levels at the same time is just fascinating to me. It's like people who work in the CIA or something. You got to be looking at all these different variables all at the same time. And I just mentioned that because my dad is in the CIA, so it just made me think of that. That's all. But yeah, right. I don't know. I forgot where I was, and I was probably still talking too much.
You're fine.
We were talking about, how did I get all the way there? What were we just talking about?
That happens with us.
It happens.
We get on tangents. Uh-huh.
Okay.
That happens quite frequently.
I just rode the train of the tangential train, and
That's
I
it.
Think I rode it for, like, China. So sorry about that.
Our listeners love it. They love it. They're all over the place.
Yes.
No problem.
They love it.
And to make sure, our companion, Daniel Dark, who, when he was young, audiobooks were released on wax cylinder back in the Victorian era. But Daniel, want to make sure you get into this, because I know Holly and I have been chattering away with Marnie. So did you have some stuff that you wanted to cover with her tonight?
I want to cover one thing with her. When you're doing your audiobook and you have 50 characters that you're having to come up voices with.
Right.
How do you differentiate your voice 50 times?
That is a good question. I don't really know how it happens. It just kind of does. You know, like I was saying, you imagine that character, so you see that. You know, sometimes you even have to go with stereotypes. So, like, the old man stereotype, and you know, you think of like the old man stereotype. You know, maybe he's like hunched over or whatever. And so sometimes I even have to like hunch my body. I mean, not too much because I can't go away from the mic. But then all of a sudden, you know, so I've hunched my body now. Maybe I lift one shoulder up and I pull my head up, you know, so that it can face the mic, and then that's the voice that comes out for the old man, right? It sounds crazy, but it's true. And then, you know, the girl who's kind of like, I don't know, maybe a little bit out there, and maybe she's kind of like, everything kind of goes up like an inflection, you know, it's like an upward inflection, and maybe like she touches her hair a little bit, so like the next thing you know, it kind of sounds like that. Or, you know, you got the guy who's like, kind of like, he might be up to something, but you don't know if he's up to something, but he kind of talks like kind of low, like he's whispering, but he's like a little bit gruff, and he's like your friend, but maybe not. You know, like the next thing you know, you've got
all these things, like maybe you have a little kid or just a person who just kind of has a really high voice and just kind of talks like that, and maybe puts their thumb in their mouth a little bit, and so it kind of comes out like that a little bit, but you never know.
And then, you know, you've got the woman who, you know, walks to the room, and everybody's looking at her and thinking, wow, who is she? I want to know her. And you got the man, you know, maybe like this man, you know, maybe he's like a bit of a stoner, but maybe he's not like really a stoner, but for whatever reason, he kind of has like that voice. It kind of sounds like a stoner, and all of a sudden, like, you slow down your voice, and some things are elongated like that, you know?
Right, right. Is that right? That's the kind of how it goes, right? I mean, you know, you could do that, right?
Yep. your teachers probably quit calling on you in school, didn't they? They didn't know who was freaking answering.
They didn't know who was going to respond.
Exactly. All my personalities are coming out all at once. No. I mean, it's just, I've been, it's like, you know what it is? Like, I wasn't the only kid. I wasn't the only child. I have a sister. She's 4 years older than me. But we kind of, 4 years is a huge gap. And for us, it was like, it might as well have been a, don't tell me the name. The Grand Canyon. What's the word? A canyon. I don't know. Whatever it is that's between you, like, to cross. A huge chasm, whatever.
A border?
Like, yeah, whatever. Impossible to cross. So we didn't play really together. So guess who I was playing with? Myself, right? So I'm doing plays,
right.
You know, and I bring in friends and stuff, but I also make up all my own characters. And so I would do, you know, sometimes I do it in front of a video camera. My dad would let me borrow his video camera with a video cassette, because back then they had things called video cassettes. Which, you know, probably some of your audience doesn't even know what that is, right? They don't even know what a video cassette is.
The glories of Betamax. Yes, the
exactly,
old
Betamax. But so I've been doing this all my life. So acting is kind of a natural transition for me to be able to play these different characters and then to be able to do something like audiobooks where, yeah, you have to come up with 50 different people or whatever. I mean, it's just fun. And you're tapping into all this stuff that you don't get to tap into, like, pretty much ever, you know? So, I'm sure you must feel that as an author. You're writing all these different characters. So you're feeling that too, right? You must experience that.
You know, but they're talking to me. I'm not talking to them. So, you know, in different voices. They're just talking to me, so
you have all
it happens on
both sides.
I think sometimes you tell them, shut up, I'm doing it this way.
You
got to argue with them sometimes.
They argue with me every day.
I bet they do.
That's it.
You must like wake. Are you the kind of person you like wake up in the middle of the night? You're like, you have to, right? Because I mean, I understand like as an author, you like live, breathe, sleep, eat, writing, right? Or this creative,
yep.
Whatever it is.
You're constantly
making up stories, right? I tell the stories. You make them up. I don't have a job without you.
If you have ever seen the movie. The Man Who Invented Christmas, that is
yes,
pretty
love,
realistic for an
love
author.
I love that movie. Yes.
At least for me.
I loved that movie. I thought it was so well done. And yes, for that very reason, because it really does give you insight into, we sort of get to crawl into an author's mind, right?
Uh-huh. That's a scary place to be.
I was just going to say, that's a scary, I don't want to go there. I have no desire to go there.
Mine is just a happy-go-lucky field to be in. You know,
Right?
Oh, it's always happy-go-lucky.
Between Stephen and Daniel, yeah, they keep me on my toes.
I bet they do.
They're writing.
Oh, my gosh.
My writing is just lighthearted. You know, think of the Hallmark Channel.
Yeah, this is, I'm sure, Hallmark. Yes, right? For fantasy. Yeah, right, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A Hallmark Channel with a butcher knife. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that everybody knows that I got to speak here. I love Hallmark movies at Christmas time. I watch tons of them.
Me too.
Yes,
I binge. Yeah. I binge so badly. My dream, you want to know my dream, is to be on a Hallmark movie.
Well, see, Stephen, now you have somebody to watch Hallmark movies with.
I'm probably going to
be
grandma. Well, good. We'll do that, and then we can do the horror ones because those are fun too. I did it.
Yes.
I did a horror, like a little horror short, and it was awesome. I had a duster.
Yeah, you like
doing
like
a robot,
Sherlock Holmes characters.
And I had a duster named
well,
Tiki.
Yeah, Daniel's got.
Me and Daniel will be watching the Victorian movies.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
All my characters are sweet and innocent. I don't know why.
Oh, yours. Everyone.
Speaking of horror, I didn't get to do an audiobook, but this relates to I didn't do his. He was a potential client of mine, and then I, you know, just sort of I got super busy, and he's got a lot going on. But this guy, I have to tell you, his name is Sean. I'm going to butcher his last name, Sean McMahon, and he has written the Restarter series, and he sent me his book. You know, as a potential client, he's sending me his book from the UK in Essex, and
cool.
Anyway. There's a story here. The story is he gave me my name for my company. I wish I could say I had the genius and the brilliance to come up with it, but I didn't. I'm smart enough to know that everybody else is smarter than me. So when he sent me his book, it said on the package, Marnie Young, the Audio Sorceress. And I saw
and
I said, that is my company. I said, that is the name of my company because I'm looking for you've got to find a hook, right? You've got to find a hook.
You
got
to
go on ATX.
I love the name. Yeah, it's great.
ATX, you've got to go with 90,000 narrators/producers on ATX. You better believe you have to have a hook. How the heck is anybody going to know who you are? And most of them are women, P.S. So you have to have a hook. And I went to him and I said, can I have this as my company? This is going to be my brand. This is going to be I'm going to brand myself. This is going to be my company. And this is what is going to, you know, take me to a new level and put me in another, another tier. And sure enough, it did. And he was awesome. And he said, oh, yeah. And I was like, I will give you credit. He's like, you don't need to. I'm so happy that you want to use it. And anyway, all that to say he has written horror. It's wonderful. He's been called the Wizard of Time Travel. He was coined that, and it's so true. And he is flipping laugh-out-loud funny, but he is also, it's horror, and it's very, very dark and delicious. And yes, as much as I live in the Hallmark world, you better believe I live in that world too. I kind of, you know, I have my feet in both worlds, and I'm lucky that way, because in doing audiobooks, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So right. I get to do the sweet, warm, fuzzy stuff, and I get to do the Here's Your Butcher Knife. Speaking of Butcher Knife, his next series called his next the one I read is Fur Lodge. The next one is The Dark Restarter, and I haven't read it yet. He just sent it to me, and on the front cover is a guy holding a butcher knife.
Nice.
But he is also
that'll be right up Daniel's alley. I know Daniel like that.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. So I love it. I'm like, wow, I didn't know horror could be so funny. This is awesome. I had no idea.
Oh, it can go. Like Daniel's is horotica. I call it horotica. Because it's not erotica, but it's horror, but it's horotica.
It's
a whole new
element.
Genre.
You created a genre.
I did. So he runs with it. He uses it. Horotica.
Yeah.
I hashtag it and everything now. So, yeah.
Hashtag it. Okay. I'll remember that.
That's it.
Okay.
Wow. The new genre.
Oh,
yeah,
my gosh.
They're popping up all the time.
From Kenzie there, Holly, we got another question from her. Do you want to
from
take
Kenzie?
It?
Yeah. Let's see. She said, did you ever answer whether or
earlier?
Not.
Okay, we missed one.
Yeah, she said, did Marnie ever answer whether or not she's with Audible or ACX?
Oh, I didn't answer. No, I am with ACX. Yeah, I'm like rostered with so many audiobook companies. It's kind of crazy. Like, I'm really lucky that way. It doesn't mean I've done work with all of them, but I'm on their roster for like people to consider. Hold on 1 second. I'm being asked to show my ticket. Yes, I'm actually doing a live podcast. It's okay. Just 1 second. I'm sorry, Steve. I live in
Connecticut. Oh, it's
okay. Hold on. Give me 1 second, Holly. Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
Live, so they're hearing this. It's okay.
See, that's authentic. She's in Grand Central, folks. This is authentic.
Grand Central Station, New York City.
Thank you.
It's our first time having a guest broadcast on Grand Central. That's authentic. That's some authenticity right there. That's brilliant.
And I totally forgot what I was. What the Hayward were we talking about? I have no
ACX
idea.
ACX or Audible? Yeah.
Oh yes.
Yeah. ACX,
so the thing
Audible
with Audible,
and other places
the thing
you're
with Audible
with.
Is that I am on Audible. Like you'll find my books, all my books on Audible. But the thing with Audible, as far as the actual like being able to record for Audible, when I sent them my information, they were very interested. And then when I told them where I live, it was crickets, because they pretty much only take people that live in Jersey or New York. I mean, unless you're a huge star, obviously, and they'll fly you in, they don't care. But for the most part, they really only take people, they don't want home narrators, and they don't want people that live as far away from New Jersey as I do. So no, I am not with that, but my books are on Audible, and yes, I'm on ACX. My profile is on there. But I'm also, I do a lot of work with Tantor. I do work with Dreamscape. I do work with Punch, and then I'm rostered with the Audio Flow. I'm rostered with Podium, with Elephant Audio, with B Audio. Oh, geez. There's a bunch. I don't know. I'm kind of, you know, if you look me up, if you want to find me, you can find me.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well rounded.
Well,
oh, Findaway. I'm also with Findaway and Spoken Realms, and and I'm also with. I'm with the UK company. Yeah, Litwits Press. Lorelei Amidi found me and was just like, "We don't have a narrator for this company, and we want you to be our narrator." So I am with. They only do UK, and I'm with. Yeah,
huh.
Which is kind of exciting. Yeah, I know, right? I'm an American who gets to be a narrator for a British publishing company, and they're amazing.
That's
they're
cool.
You know, a smaller company, and they're just delightful, wonderful, and they're very much a creative. I know you guys are, you know, all about that, and they have like certain narrators, and they have cover art, they have it all, and they sort of all work together to publish these beautiful books, and I get to be their narrator.
Cool.
Very cool.
That is neat.
Yeah.
That is neat. And you also have a blog.
I do have
a
blog.
Yes, blog.
I've been,
you are a writer, too.
I don't know. I mean, hopefully with this play, right, that I'm trying to adapt. You know what it was? It was really cathartic for me, to be honest. It was when my kids were in the NICU. That's kind of where it started. It was just tough for me to handle that.
It is.
And, that was a way for me to just kind of purge. And you'll see that. I mean, it really is all about my twins and sort of what it means to be an artist and to have twins, and sort of it kind of changes the trajectory of that kind of it, you know, changes your trajectory of your life completely. You know, I went from bad places writing those blogs to better places writing those blog entries. But I love it. And I probably have an audience of like 10. I don't know. I don't know who reads them, but it's fun for me. And it seems to have helped some. Some people have told me, you know, thanks for your honesty about this. I struggle with this too, or whatever, which is always nice, because I think sometimes you feel alone with things. And I mean, it, for as much as, you know, social media is the toilet of whatever it was that Lady Gaga said, which I, you know, can agree with, it also mm-hmm. is amazing how you can come together. And in a situation where it can be difficult to meet people, even just a virtual relationship like that can be special. And just knowing that other people have been through that same thing. And, you know, my whole thing is that it's self-deprecating. Like, I don't claim to know anything, and I don't. I know that if anything, I'm like mom fail on a constant basis, you know?
No.
Yeah. Try not to. It's tough. I love it. And I wish that I had more time to do it, but fortunately or unfortunately, I haven't had as much time as I wanted to dedicate to it. But I think the most recent one I wrote was pretty positive. No, actually, that's not true. It was actually not very funny. That was the problem. Normally, I think I try to be a little funny with my stuff, and it was not very funny. And I remember somebody saying, Marnie, that wasn't funny. I was like, well, I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I thought it was.
You know,
yeah.
Oh, well, good. I'm glad you found some humor in it. I was like, I thought some of it was maybe funny. But yeah, I mean, I try to have my toes in everything. You know, I was doing a podcast, which is still sort of happening. I'm hosting a podcast, but it's been difficult because I'm just so busy. I'm so, so busy, and I've had a mm-hmm. blast, like, promoting indie authors. It's a lot of fun to sort of, you know, give people a peek behind the curtain.
Right.
And
well, she just missed being able to have me on her blog, so, you know.
Oh,
on the podcast.
On the podcast. Yeah, I know what you meant. Yeah, I know. I read. I could have had you, but I think that we're still doing them. But it's just not. I don't know how involved I can stay, honestly, because
mm-hmm.
I just
right.
have so. Fortunately, I should say, have so much work.
We understand
from
that.
Cantor or from my own clients, because I just keep getting books, which
right.
is awesome. You know, it's I'm so because and I've worked my butt off. To get this kind of thing. You know, I really have. I've spent an obscene amount of hours marketing myself and really putting myself out there as much as possible. And, you know, it is starting to pay off, which is great for me and great for my family. And it's,
right.
you know, great for having the insurance, and you got four, you know, kids who have OT and PT, and, you know, that stuff adds up. But, you know,
oh, yeah,
I have them handling mm-hmm. the insurance, fantastic for my family. I'm saving. I was like, I looked at my husband. I was like, dude, I am saving us like $25,000 a year. Just remember, like, I may not be working a corporate
right.
job, but this is what I'm doing because I'm getting us insurance. So he's like, no, it's good. It's good.
Yeah, that means a lot.
Oh, but I have to.
We have
do
another
a
area of
money
husband. We need to cover. Evidently,
okay,
Rob just messaged me. And before we get through our live portion of the show, I do want to interject this because we actually haven't, I don't think, talked about this, but did you talk about your starring role in The Passion of Miss Augusta? He said amazingly layered movie. He said Debbie and I loved it. So.
Oh, Rob is, he's so dear. He's so, so dear. Rob Clements did that, and it was Augusta was actually a real, Augusta Evans was a real woman, and she was an author who actually made a living in her own right using her own name, not like a George Sands. You remember that woman? She went under. I hope I'm getting her name right. How embarrassing if I'm not. She had to use a male name, you know, because back then nobody would read a female author, right? Because this is the Civil War time. In fact, that's what my play, the play I just did, the one I was telling you about, the Civil War Widows, it was about that very thing. My character wouldn't sign her painting, which she does at the end, but she wouldn't sign it because her whole thing was, I want people to look at it. And if a female signs it, no one's going to look at it, right? This is back then. Thankfully, not now. But anyway, The Passion of Miss Augustus. So she, like her dad, I guess, was a gambler. He made a lot of investments and it didn't go well and basically like bankrupt the family. And she supported her family, her father, her mother, you know, whoever else. And she was a prodigy. She wrote her first novel when she was like 11, totally self-taught.
Wow.
You know, totally self-taught. And sort of, you know, they didn't come from money, but they did have a few books. And before you know it, she's taken care of the entire family. Augusta Jane Evans Wilson, I think, is her full name. I'm trying to remember. You have to forgive me. But it was awesome. And he sort of, Rob Clement, he played with these different, he did like a silent movie. He did something that took place in the 50s. And then, gosh, there were three aspects to it. Wait a minute, did he cut? Because at one point he had sepia. He had like sepia scenes, you know, and then he had black and white. And then he had, I think he ended up getting rid of the sepia, I think. You have to forgive me. My brain is starting to mushify itself. But he played with that. So you'd be watching one scene, and the next thing you know, it's from a silent movie. But it's all the same characters. And I got to work with this amazing, he's a star. And oh my gosh, Jason, oh no, forgive me, I cannot remember his last name. Anyway, he was acted with Whoopi Goldberg in a movie and he's a huge rock star in Europe. And I can't believe I cannot remember his last name. He's so embarrassing. Anyway, I got to act opposite him and he was unbelievable. So flipping talented and a bunch of other lovely, lovely people. But it was great. We got to go to this huge mansion and set up in this mansion. And I got to wear these amazing costumes. And I got to get inside the head of this woman who wanted to be a writer. And that just wasn't a thing that you did then. And that was her dream, and she did it. And, you know, she didn't there's a chance for her to marry. And I remember she didn't want to marry because she was afraid she would lose her independence. And she was an extraordinary woman. And I was lucky enough to do that role. And so thanks to Rob for such a lovely review. Reviews always help, guys. As you authors know.
Oh,
right?
Yes.
Reviews are, you know.
Yes, they
make an author, hashtag make an author smile. How about hashtag make an actor smile? Leave a review. but I was excited when I found out it was out on Amazon. I was like, yay, this is so fun. So anyway, that was.
Yeah,
we're
going to check that out immediately, Holly.
You should. Yeah, we'll there's no knife. Well, actually, you know what? That's not true. There is a knife. There is a knife. And it's kind of cool because, as I was saying, since it takes place in black and white, you know, silent film, and then in the 50s, I'm not ruining this for you. I think you can see it in the trailer. So the black and white, the man is shot with a revolver, right? Because that's what happened when you had a duel. But in the 50s, he's stabbed with a knife. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, he's a visionary, this Rob. He really is. I'm so, so lucky. The people I've worked with, oh, my gosh, I'm so spoiled. I could go on forever, but I won't. I promise.
Now,
that's a good problem to have.
Right. It is.
90 seconds
really
on the live show. So I'll make sure we get in where to find you, Marnie, on social media. People want to learn more about you, connect with you on social, that kind of thing.
So it's just MarnieYoung.com. I mean, it's really as easy as that. And it's Marnie is MARNYE. Young is exactly like it sounds. .com. You can put a www in front of it, but you don't have to. And that's everything. You have access to my featured follower spotlight. There's also a resources page. So I post about other narrators, female and male, that I love and maybe haven't worked with, but I know their work. And if I'm not right, check these people out because they're awesome. Other publishing companies, cover artists, the resources page. My bio is there. My acting demo, vocal demo, all that stuff. So you can see bits of The Passion of Miss Augusta, a really cool thing I did that was on Cinemax and HBO called Sweet Honey Child. That was really, really awesome to do by Taliba Newman. She directed that. Anyway, yeah, that's MarnieYoung.com. That's it. And The Audio Sorceress, remember that. Tell your friends.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but can I plug my husband's company just because I'm so proud of him?
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
It's CAH Architecture and Design LLC, and I say that because I don't know if you guys know, but I grew up with This Old House. Do you know?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you didn't. Okay.
I love that
I watched
show.
It when I was. Oh, good. Well, get this.
Love that show.
His company is being featured on This Old House this season. So I am so flippin' proud of him. I know. It's ridiculous.
That's awesome.
He's a self-made man. Yeah. He started with like one person. He's got a whole company. And he's a self-made man, and he's an amazing individual. Great dad, great everything. So I just had to say that because I love This Old House, and I'm just so excited for him. And it's going to be awesome.
What's
the
name of your husband's company?
CAH Architecture and Design LLC.
And what area does he work in?
Oh, well, that's his company. He does residential, he does commercial, he does it all, and he's licensed all over the place.
What part of the country?
Oh, I'm
what
sorry.
Area?
He lives, where does he live? No, I'm sorry. What are you asking?
Where does he do his
where
work?
Is it
New England?
Oh, in Connecticut. Well, in Connecticut. He's licensed in Connecticut.
Connecticut, okay.
In New York. Yes.
Gotcha.
Yeah. The house is in New Canaan. It's a historic house that he's working on.
Very cool.
And you can actually see it. You can go to This Old House. I'm not exactly sure what the link is, but they have a live webcam, and you can see the house. So you get to watch all the changes that happen.
Nice.
Yeah, it's awesome. Bob Vila. I grew up with Bob Vila. So, I mean, he's not on the show anymore.
I did not know they were doing a live webcam. Oh, my gosh. She just opened up my whole eyes now.
There you go.
This
you
is fantastic. I love Bob Vila. I've watched Bob Vila since I was little.
No.
Man. Yeah, I love that show.
No, I know. I don't think he's associated. Sadly, I don't think he's associated with the show anymore.
No.
But it is still
no.
an amazing show. And I'm just
mm-hmm.
super proud of him. So I just had to throw that in there, you know.
That's neat.
But anyway, I know
very
I'm
cool.
Your,
hey, if
goodness
we ever get our island, we can have we found someone that can design our writer's retreat. So there you go.
Bada bing, bada boom. There you go.
He's designed theaters. He's designed for, you know, he's amazing. He does it all. Yeah.
That is so cool.
Awesome.
So cool. Well, is there anything else that you want to add or touch on before we close up here?
That is a good question. You know, I just want to say a real quick thanks to Patricia Santomaso and also her husband, Sean, who I've worked with and is just delightful. And they're amazing narrators. And they, you know, make a living doing this. And but the reason I mentioned Trisha, everybody knows her as Trisha, is she's the one that got me started. And so I don't know where I'd be if it hadn't been for her pushing me and saying, look, this is something you can do and you should do. So, you know what I mean? I wouldn't be where I am today if it wasn't for her. And, you know, of course, everybody else has helped me along the way. And you guys, hello, for putting me on here. It's so nice of you.
Of course.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you so much.
Feel free to call in. Join us anytime. We have the lovely little chat room there, too.
Yeah,
you can pipe in. And...
I know. I've got to check that out.
We're live every Wednesday night.
Wonderful. You asked great questions. I was so nervous. So I appreciate it.
Oh, no. Don't be nervous. That's what we always tell everybody. Lord,
not
no, don't
show.
Be nervous with us. No, not our show. We let it go where it may, and we're here
mm-hmm.
to spotlight the guest. So
mm-hmm.
That's true. Yes,
well,
absolutely.
It's an absolute honor, you guys. Thank you. And thanks to Rob again, Rob Hoff, who's amazing, who introduced me to you.
Well, thank you for joining us and sharing your world with us. And I know a lot of our authors out there have really learned a lot and got some insight into the narration world.
That's
it's new for a lot of indie authors
and for me too. After 15 books, I'm finally doing the first.
And there's there's definitely a learning curve. And also, people can reach out to me. I help people all the time, like just in terms of telling them about the process, and even directing them where they can go. You know, like, so when somebody writes to me and says, you know, I'm interested in you, I tell them, you know, this is what I cost, blah blah blah, and I say, you know, if that's not right for you, then here's something else you can do, and here's something else you can do, and why don't you take a look at this, and why don't you take a look at that? So I am happy to help people in any way I can. So please, you can always reach out to me anytime, any questions, and if I don't have an answer, I will find someone who has an answer.
Just awesome.
Well, we may take you up on that then.
Yeah, we may take you up on that.
If we're just getting our feet wet.
I am here for you.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
Thank you. And so, yeah, next week we will see everyone at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for another informative and entertaining Star Chamber show. But for tonight, I will sign off first and let everybody say goodnight. But this is Steven Zimmer, and thank you for joining us tonight for the Star Chamber show.
And don't forget, if you would like to help support the Star Chamber show and our other missions, Imaginarium and our press, and you can jump on to www.patreon.com/7starpress, and I will hand it over to Daniel.
You know that it's time to go into the darkness and find your way out again, and we will see you next week on the Star Chamber. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Night, everybody.